Hey, family, friends, loved ones, and new friends, welcome to the LLC. Make yourselves comfortable, relax your mind, leave that baggage at the door. Listen, those closest to me call me AR, and some call me Rush. Either one you choose is perfectly fine by me. Let me give you the who, the what, and the why behind the LLC. The who, the what, and the why is pretty simple. We talk spirituality, we talk business, we talk mental health. Most of all, let's talk about what happens every day in what I call hashtag in my zip code. In many zip codes, LLC represents a limited liability company, but where I come from, it most often represents laundromat, liquor store, church. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will be one of transparency, healing, and transformation. It is my desire to bring industry professionals and much more to your zip code so that you too can embark on a journey that revolutionizes the way that you think, feel, act, which will bring about new results in your life. So let's journey together. Life is better when it's shared. I hope you agree. Let's build some interdependency through trust and integrity. Pick your place, y'all. We can connect at the laundromat, the liquor store, or the church. So let's get it. Hey family, this is your boy AR. I'm on with my big brother. We met at UCLA over in those hills of Westwood. I am not sure if we're the only big brother, little brother, you know, tag team still kicking and moving. I think we are, so I'm always going to claim it. So yes, speak it out there like that. But, you know, this young man is a son. He's a brother. He's a father. He's an entrepreneur. And do you call yourself pastor, reverend, man?
What just D'Amico.
Just D'Amico. Yes. All right. So this is D'Amico Fitzgerald, just D'Amico. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of our show, welcome. Welcome, my brother. Glad to see you, boss.
Good to be here, little bro. And I'm excited to have this conversation.
That's what's up. So listen, man, just share. Just D'Amico, right? I know some of who that is, but, you know, we have masks that we wear, and not just these masks during this pandemic, but we have a mask that we put on for the public. So Just D'Amico, just however long you want to go, man, we got time. Who is D'Amico?
Who is D'Amico, right? That's an interesting question, a most powerful question. D'Amico is a believer of Jesus Christ, okay. A black man living in America, yes, a father of a lovely daughter, son of two lovely parents, brother of two lovely brothers, pastor of a growing dynamic church in Los Angeles, engineer by vocation, friend by character, and I hope some would say a brother beloved. I'm trying to figure this thing we call life out, trying to master it to the best of my ability, and trying to ultimately leave footprints so that others' path in life can be easier and their goals more attainable.
Okay. Well, that was a lot, man. And I'm always taking notes. So footprints, is this a part of your mission? Because I love to know what people's mission.
Yes.
Like what wakes you up in the morning?
Yes. I want to make sure. I believe there was the old spiritual hymn that said, if I can help somebody along the way while I travel this journey, I just want that to be my life mission. I don't want to be one of those who just existed. I want to be one of those who lived, who tried to be impactful, who try to not only enjoy what life has to offer, but try to make it better for the next generation behind us. I believe that's our goal. I believe that should be the goal of every generation, to make it better for the generation that's coming. That's how we progress.
Okay. So again, taking notes, man, being that you have that title, right? And you might call yourself just D'Amico, but there are people looking at you as pastor, right? And they have, because of societal conditioning, they have expectations. They believe it should go this way. They believe your life should look like this, and so on and so on.
So when you said it, I wrote it down. Enjoy what life has to offer. What does that look like for you?
Holistically, in every aspect. Okay. Let's start Bible.
Okay.
The New Testament, John 10:10, I believe. Somebody can correct me, but John 10:10 says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So let's just stop right there. More abundantly. I believe more abundantly should apply in every aspect of life, in our relationships, in our careers, in our family dynamics, in our covenant unions, marriages, in our parental responsibility as parents, in our fellowship. It should be meaningful. It should be abundant. And so that's what I believe is our inherent purpose and assignment as humans, that God has so wonderfully and fearfully created, is that we live this life in abundance.
Yeah. So with abundance, you know, this is a word that scares people.
Yes.
I found that there is this actual word, and the friend that we were just talking about, she was a guest of the show, Kenzie Jones, she's a therapist. We studied it a little bit together. It's chromatophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Chromatophobia literally is the fear of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a psychological thing. They know it exists. Mm-hmm. Like if you're afraid of snakes mm-hmm. or water, mm-hmm. it's a real, real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So more abundantly, I feel like we are conditioned to be afraid of abundance. I know you talk about overflow lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid of this in what I call our zip code, our community,
mm-hmm.
Our church.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach this to people and get them to understand? You said John 10:10. I always like to refer to Malachi 3:10,
mm-hmm.
that second part,
mm-hmm.
right? The first part we know because they talk about the tithe.
Mm-hmm.
But the second part in every translation that I found literally says, try me and see,
mm-hmm.
test me and see.
Mm-hmm.
If I won't pour out a blessing,
mm-hmm.
that you can't contain, da 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 da. Right? So now they didn't wore us out with the first
right.
half.
Right. Right.
We forget about yeah. that second half. And I think we're afraid to test or try God, even though it's in the Word.
Yes.
Even though it says, right? So how do you help people to live more abundantly? And you named a lot of areas, which is dope. So how do you help people with that?
I think from a spiritual point of view, we need to change our mindset, shift our mindset. I believe, and I know it's probably going to sound strange to many, but we as a body of believers have done a disservice to the church in antiquity and in the contemporary church. And here's what I mean. We are trying to grow the body of Christ from a point of fear. Because when we get in front of people, we teach from I'm gonna use a term I learned in seminary. We teach from an eschatological point of view. That means we preach from end times. And so we get in front of a body of believers. If you don't do X, Y, and Z, you going to, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fear.
Yeah.
That's fear. We acknowledge that, that's fear. But then again, I come to your church and you teach me that God did not give me a spirit of what? He did not give me a spirit of fear, but of love, what? Charity and a sound mind. And so if you teach me from an eschatological point of view, you're trying to scare me to get close to God by using a spirit that is not of God. So it can't work.
One more time.
You're trying to get me to come close to God.
Yes.
By using a spirit that is not of God. If he didn't give me fear, that means the adversary gave me fear.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have to stop trying to grow the body of Christ using eschatological viewpoints. And what do I mean? I want you to become a believer if you are talking with me or listening to me or even studying under me. I want you to become a believer not because of the benefits you will get once you leave life. I want you to become a believer because of the benefits you will get while in life. I don't want you to wait till you get to heaven to shout that everything is all good and you're tasting the fruit that they taste when they got to the promised land. I want you to taste that fruit here. And so I want you to know how to manage relationships properly. I want you to know how to manage money properly. I want you to know how to manage your emotional state, your mental state, your physical state properly so that you can enjoy life here. And he came that you might have life abundantly here and right. And so that's how I believe we could do better, is stop trying to teach it just from an eschatological point of view and teach from right now, from birth to birth, from the moment he, and then let's go even deeper, if you don't mind. Yeah. We shout or we teach Jeremiah 29. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, yeah. Right? But I can show you in the New Testament in Paul's letter where Paul says, not only did God know us, he chose us. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for me to know you. It's another thing totally different for me to know you and choose you. Yeah. It's a whole lot of people I know. I'm not going to choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's one thing for me to know you, and he knows us and he chose us.
Yeah.
Right. He knew our flaws. Yeah. He knew our shortcomings, but he still chose us.
Yeah.
And so we got to live like that.
Okay. Man, your gift, you always been like this, right? Like I'm thinking way, way back from when any subject, you've always been as deep. And I know we kind of like just on the surface, believe mm-hmm. it or not. I know when people hear this, they're going to be like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, y'all, this dude is still on the surface. He ain't got to the roots yet. One question I definitely mm-hmm. wanted to ask mm-hmm. you, it's not written down, but it's been mm-hmm. on my mind forever.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we, as a whole,
mm-hmm.
learn to meet people where they are? It's like we're running people away from the church. Right, we sin differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We sin.
Yes. Yes.
So if we know this and we're all sinning a little bit different, why am I so hard on you?
Right.
Why can't I accept you?
Right.
And why can't you accept me?
Right.
Well, I don't know why we do this to one another.
I'm gonna go back to what you just said. We sin differently. Mm-hmm. I want to cut that off. We sin. Period.
Okay.
We sin, period.
Okay.
All have fallen short of the glory, according to scripture. And the reason I believe that we set up barriers is because of insecurities and because we have adopted a shame mindset in our culture.
Yeah.
And so what is that scripture that says, I can look at the speck in your eye, but can't see the plank in my own. And so many times we feel like your sin is big sin and my sin is little sin. Mm-hmm. And we use it in everyday language. Oh, I just told a little lie.
Yeah.
A little lie is sin. Yeah. A big lie is sin, right? There's no big or little, right? Yeah. And so we want to make our own selves feel better about our shortcomings by putting you down about yours. Right. There used to be a time where they said if you was going through anything, you can go to church.
Right.
Right. And tell the saints, and the saints would pray for you.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm a pastor, but I caution you to believe that mindset in today, because we are so indoctrinated with the shame culture. People won't even wait till church is over, and they tweeting, texting, posting. So-and-so said X, Y, and Z in church. Can y'all believe that? Mm-hmm. When we should use that same energy to pray for them, mm-hmm. pray for you, pray for me, mm-hmm. because it's only God's mercy and grace that stop you and I from, you know, from just being, you know, so strayed away from the kingdom, right? It's not like it's in us. We just have developed the faith muscles and the spiritual muscles to suppress it, oppress it, mm-hmm. keep it under wraps, but it's in us.
Yeah.
It's in us. It was in us from creation. It's in us.
Yeah. You mentioned first shame, and then you took it later to shame culture. So it's the culture.
It's the culture. It's the culture. It's the culture that's, it's just like, I'm not even going to go like deep with it. It's say something good. It may, you know, be repeated once.
Right.
Say something evil or, you know, harsh.
Be rolling.
It'll be rolling.
Yeah.
Look at the typical news programming.
Uh huh.
The stories are never the feel good stories.
Right.
The stories are the stories that'll be retold and reshared and right. So
yeah. I have kind of a running joke. I actually have more engagement, they call it, followers on Yelp about food,
right,
than I do in my business life.
Right.
I have more engagement on there,
right,
than in my business life, and it's I guess the same.
Because you can talk about my bad cooking, but you can't talk about the fact that I bounce checks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's just like, and I understand what you, because you're excellent at what you do, and you helping close the financial divide in our community.
Thank you.
I hosted before a book club, before I was a pastor.
Yeah.
It would be the hardest subject matter to get people to be involved in, dealt with money.
Yeah.
The easiest subject matter dealt with relationships.
Okay.
So you would think we would be excellent in relationships, probably bad in money.
Right.
When in fact, we're bad in both.
Right.
But we don't even want to try to even get better as it relates to finances.
Right.
When that is a critical and necessary element in enjoying life.
Yeah.
Right?
We spend 40, 60 hours a week.
Absolutely.
And we refuse to learn.
We refuse to because I believe finances will challenge our discipline in levels that we don't want.
So as individuals, because that's what we're just talking about, as a church, how about that? Because I've often attempted to reach out to various churches and whatnot, and it turns into a, well, let me see.
Right.
You know, let's do a workshop. Because I can teach on the discipline and tithing and all those kinds of things. But even at the higher levels.
Right.
The higher levels we find, because I've chatted with folks, the pastor, the first, like, there is no financial plan.
Right.
Even on that level.
Right.
So I guess, again, it would be culture.
It's culture.
Generally speaking, we show up looking.
Right. It's culture.
We show up.
And let's be totally transparent. You've talked to me about that.
Man.
But I got to make sure.
Plan,
yeah, but I, right. But I got to make sure my people are in a position so that when I bring the rushings into our setting, our environment, the atmosphere is ripe for the seeds. Right. And so I think that many churches, many leaders, are dropping the ball. Because you got to look at it, like billions go through the hands of churches.
Our community,
right? Yeah. Billions, right? Just billions, right?
You said trains.
But we don't have enough to show for the billions that have gone through our hands.
No.
We don't have enough.
No.
We don't have enough. So it's not that God did not bless us. Mm. It's that we have not become good stewards of what God. So when we see God and get to see him face to face, we can't say, God, why did you do us like that on earth? We can't. Because he'll turn back and say, why did you do that to yourself?
Right.
On earth, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that we got to have, and I think we have to model, because here, I learned a long time ago that behavior observed is behavior that will be modeled. And so it's hard for you to try to tell me as a member to get my finances together when I can see you don't have your finances together.
Right.
When I can see that it's hard for you to want me to come and be transparent with my finances when you're not transparent with your finances. And I'll give you an example of how, and I'm not saying I know all the answers, we know all the answers, but I'm just telling you what's worked for us. We are very transparent in the area of finance. If you're a member of our church, monthly you get the profit and loss statement for that month. So you can see what came in and what came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want us to lose time, right? That most precious element of time. I don't want us to lose time arguing over or putting out rumors unnecessarily.
And so if I told Arian, I showed Arian what came in and what came out, you can't stop him in the parking lot and waste time for him to work out with his God, with his family, towards his goal, gossiping about something that he already knows all the facts about, right? And so I want to eliminate that. And I want you to see what we are doing based on our goals, because it may challenge you to start praying about your faith. Because tithing, giving, it's a faith thing. Mm-hmm. You got to believe and trust God and take God at his word in Malachi 3. That if you do it, he will, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's not at that level.
Right.
The problem is, as leaders, we try to shame you because you don't come in at that level.
Yeah.
You got to grow.
Yeah.
It's like one thing as a pastor, every year I try to go higher. I don't announce it to nobody. I just do it inherently, go higher. Yeah. So in my 6th year now as a pastor, I'm higher than I was in 2017. And if someone was to pull me aside and ask me, I would tell them, yes, I'm higher now than I was in 2017. And my shout or my testimony is, God has been faithful. Mm-hmm. As I have increased, his blessings and his covenant over me and my family and what I need to do has not missed a beat.
Yeah. That's funny. That's actually what I teach people when I'm talking about, you know, investing or whatever. I let them know you can start with a minimal amount.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the amount, it's the habit.
Mm-hmm.
And once the habit becomes formed, there's other things that start becoming less and less important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it relates to anything. I mean, you know, you walk for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. build up your immune system a little bit, then make it 11, mm-hmm. 15, 20, 30. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you're walking for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same with your investments, mm-hmm. your weight loss, whatever it mm-hmm. may be.
So what you do with it.
Yeah.
It's what you do with it. Like I laugh now because when I bought my house, Aaron, you couldn't have told me. And I bought the house like 20 years ago this year.
Okay.
You couldn't have told me I was ready. You right. couldn't. You couldn't right. based on what I was making, what it cost me. But I learned then, it's not what you make, it's how you handle what you do make. Right? And so that's what I would tell anybody. It's what you do. You don't, and so that therefore you don't look at what Aaron make in comparison to what you make and be jealous of him or vice versa, because how you handle what you have, it makes all the difference in the world.
Right. What do things look like now since we are 2 years and some change into doing all these things virtually? Are you guys in person? Are you online? A hybrid? Or what?
We're hybrid.
Okay.
We're hybrid. We were impacted like everything else in life.
Okay.
I don't get deep or prophesied that I see what God, I don't see what God is doing.
Okay.
I don't see, but faith is not necessarily knowing what God is doing. Faith is trusting that you're going to be all right no matter what he does. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I am a believer. Some may not like this. Church will never, ever, ever be the same. The spiritual environments that we permeated will never be the same, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And some may suggest it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's a bad thing because we haven't realized this, and I've heard, I can't take credit for this, but I heard Bishop Jones talk and teach about the church has been slow to recognize that pretty much the church is composed of two different groups. Mm-hmm. You have the gatherers, and then you have the fillers. The gatherers are those individuals that are more traditional, probably our parents, older, that they feel connected to God through gathering together.
Okay.
So those are the people that's gonna always be at church, always need to be at church,
right?
Always have to be at church. Those are the gatherers. The fillers are probably this millennial generation who needs to feel connected to a individual, a higher entity, or cause in order to be their best.
Yeah.
And so that's why when we saw Black Lives Matter, when the whole Floyd situation tragedy went down, You didn't have to tell young people, go find a protest. They were out on the front line because they felt connected to something deeper than them. Mm-hmm. So here's the challenge for the church. How do you get it to where the gatherers and the fillers can come together and do something? Because the fillers not necessarily wanting to go to church,
right?
But the gatherers need to be at church. And so here's the what I believe is the answer. You get out of tradition. Yeah. You understand some gonna come to church. They always come to church.
Right.
They need church. Some not going to come to church. And so you have something outside the walls. You have a community where you give away food, and you have a voter registration drive, and you have area in there representing Prime America teaching financial literacy. You have something in the park. We live in Southern California. Let's take advantage of nature. Have something in the park. Put on some music, right? We don't have to have a, it doesn't always have to be stuffy and dry for us. Put on some nice music. Put some food on the grill.
Yeah.
Get some games and get so kids can, but have informational booths so that people can come and be fed holistically, be fed in their mind, be fed in their finances, be fed in their spirit as far as having a fellowship. That way you solve everything.
Right.
And then when you have the church service, the traditional church service, and you see a filler come in that you haven't seen in a while, you don't shame them.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see, because they're coming in for a pit stop, and then they, good to see you. And I just think we need to come to the realization that it's changed forever, man. It's never going to be that I got to be the, and here's the powerful thing. We've always taught people and told people that God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent, and he's omniscient, meaning all knowing, and he has all power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you tell me God is omnipresent, that means God is not confined to a sanctuary.
Right.
The Word says in John 1, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then it became flesh amongst us. Flesh amongst us means it can dwell. God can dwell everywhere. And so I don't have to come to the sanctuary. That took the focus off of getting to a building, because he can dwell everywhere.
Right.
And so now we've taught people the Word of God. They're living the Word of God, and we can't get mad.
Yeah.
I don't have to come to the sanctuary now in order to be in the presence of God. Right where I am,
yeah,
I can be in the presence of God. And so it's been a good thing. I believe it's been a great thing.
Right.
Some just have to change their mindset about the situation.
Yeah, I too think that it's a great thing for so many different organizations and structures. I didn't put it in the context of gatherers and fillers, so I wrote that down. But tradition is one thing that has always killed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably get it from my dad. He's mm-hmm. kind of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I always use the example, hey, listen, man, we don't ride around with 8 tracks in our car.
No.
We're kids per se, we're not flipping CD pads and still driving at the same time, which is reckless.
Right.
We're not doing that. Right. We're downloading stuff, right. We're streaming stuff, and we have to adapt with the times. And it does not mean that it's a bad thing. It doesn't mean, my people, that it's of the enemy all
right.
the time.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, when there's someone who needs some medical assistance, the fact that they can FaceTime or Zoom or whatever with a doctor overseas that has performed this treatment or something, these are good things. Like, we can't just say that technology is of the devil. No, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, that's crazy. Right. We said technology is of the devil. Right. But when the pandemic hit, we sure did all run the Instagram and Facebook, all churches. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Hey, look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Because they couldn't get there.
Everybody.
And I'm telling you, now, did I want COVID to occur? Absolutely not, right? Absolutely. But I tell you, in our church, I believe our church today is stronger today, mm-hmm. having endured these last 24 or some odd months, than we would have been if COVID had not happened. We're stronger from a membership point of view. Mm-hmm. We have more people join our church in these last 24 months than the prior 24 months before that. It's not even close.
Yeah.
We're stronger financially.
Yeah.
As far as what we receive, what we're able to give, what we're able to keep, it's not even a question. I would even suggest to you my own personal life is better.
Yeah.
Yes, I've had friends, and unfortunately, I've had some loved ones who transitioned in this COVID period. Mm-hmm. And I pray God's word manifest that he would provide comfort to everyone.
Yeah.
But in my own personal life, I see the benefit because I was spending at a minimum 2 hours of my life daily driving to and from my place of employment.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours, that's 10 hours in a week, mm-hmm. 5 day work week. 10 hours I could never ever get back. Just couldn't, right? Just could never get these last 24 months. Now that's 10 hours I could be feeding my spirit, building more stronger relationships with my loved ones mm-hmm. and friends, building my business plans, dreams, goals, aspirations, and being able, after all of that, enjoying life.
Yeah.
Right? When they got to the promised land, what did God say? God said, eat of the fruit, mm-hmm. eat the grapes, so that you could see that the land I've led you to is flowing. And so that means Arian and I are not supposed to just store up everything and don't enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy it. He told them what? Eat the manna every day. Trust that I'll send some more.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So you and I are supposed to. And so that's 10 hours of my, and that's just my personal experience. Mm-hmm. 10 hours of my life weekly that I have. That I would not have had if my job did not stop.
You mentioned that these 10 hours in commute time, basically, mm-hmm. that could go to anything, and it should go to anything.
Yeah.
I was talking with my therapist. I have a 10 o'clock appointment, 10 a.m. every Tuesday, standing. And so this is something that I want to bring to pastor people, because I don't think people really understand therapy doesn't mean something's wrong. It's not a what's wrong with me. This is about self-awareness. Meaning, my therapist said to me, hey, I want to commend you for taking 1 hour a week, and you've been very consistent since we started working together in the summer. This was 2021. You've been really consistent 1 hour a week. And I was like, thank you. Wow. I've said this on other episodes. But I had to my mind is always going and analyzing stuff, right? And I was like, 1 hour a week? And then I went to the math, right? And anyone that knows me, math is the subject that I like the least.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out, big bro, 0.0059%
mm-hmm.
of my entire week
mm-hmm.
was spent on me.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know, is popularly coined right now is self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not taking care of self,
mm-hmm.
right? You mentioned the word suppress,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm suppressing all these things. So it's self-awareness, you guys, mm-hmm. which is what the therapy is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily this is wrong with me, that's mm-hmm. wrong with me. So I encourage people,
mm-hmm.
right? Go find you what I call, right? And she laughs every time I say it, right? Go find you a best friend who's legally bound to never say anything.
mm-hmm. Right.
That's yeah, how
yeah.
I define
it. That's good. Yeah.
You know, that's yeah. how I define yeah. this therapy thing, man. And we have a 50-minute knockout, laughter,
mm-hmm.
Whatever I need to chat about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she on some occasion shares a couple of things here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's mentioned to me, hey, that book you mentioned last week, I picked it up, I started reading
it. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it don't mean something's wrong. Right. And in our zip code, man, the whole, well, what happens in this house, you know, this state, that's bananas.
That's crazy.
That is, it is one of the most harmful things. And as we mentioned earlier on, like in the church, now you kind of can't always go in there right. and say, hey, y'all, this right. is what I'm dealing with.
Right.
This is what I'm battling
right.
with. It's almost like you still need to find a for real confidant
mm-hmm.
inside the
mm-hmm.
church
mm-hmm.
so that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because everybody mm-hmm. got these phones. Right. Everyone has at least a 10 megapixel news media worthy camera.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're not using it to hurt people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I commend you, bro. We haven't talked about this.
Right, right.
But I commend you. I really do. Brother to brother. I'm absolutely elated in love that you care that much about yourself. I mean, let's go deeper. If your shoes are a little buffed up, you take a minute to go get some help.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Your lawn is looking a certain way, you go find a gardener or a landscaper to give it some help.
Correct.
Car not running with how you feel it should be running, you go and get it some help.
Correct.
What makes you think this brilliance you have inside your mind doesn't need occasional or regular help?
Checkup.
Right? Yeah. And so we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We are brilliant, and we need someone to organize that brilliance. Mm-hmm. I am a pastor that believes in God, and I believe in science. Mm-hmm. I am a pastor that believes in prayer, and I believe in therapy.
Yeah,
I believe every individual should have a pastor and should have a therapist.
Absolutely.
And I believe that we have a tremendous responsibility to tear down that stigma in our community.
Yeah.
It is not being strong or demonstrating masculinity, mm-hmm. if that's what you want to call it. It's not being strong to not seek help.
Right.
It's being spiritually weak, and it's being spiritually capricious, in the sense of the Bible teaches us that when we are weak, his strength will be made perfect. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I'm feeling like I'm not my best, that's the time when I can demonstrate the most faith I have in God. And he has uniquely and wonderfully gifted some individuals to ask us probing questions,
right.
and to hear us. A lot of people listen, but they don't hear you.
Correct.
You know, you got some people that hear you, and you got some people that even know you well enough to know, even when you don't audibilize words,
right.
I still hear you, right? I pick up body language, right?
Yeah.
And so he's anointed therapists and gifted individuals that could sit us and help us navigate this life and navigate our emotions and navigate our feelings, because too many of us get in our feelings. I know we hear that song.
Yeah.
And feelings, my therapist taught me this, feelings were given to us by God as gifts to communicate information, to provide inspiration, in order to make decisions.
Okay.
Feelings were not given to us to make a decision, but they were given to us to give information that leads to inspiration to make a decision.
Yeah.
And so I believe in therapy. My therapist is retiring.
Okay.
And as I shared with you earlier, I'm on a manhunt. I'm on a manhunt. I'm trying to secure who's going to be my next therapist so that I can pour into and allow myself to be poured into.
Right. Yeah, people always put on social media, don't like take out for the strong and don't. Well, there are people who are licensed to do this.
Right. Right.
That's where the strong
gifted.
People go.
Gifted.
Gifted, trained. That's a big part of it, right?
Gifted.
You know, in any field, right, there's some people who are trained to I don't know, they're trained to prepare chicken better than other
people. Right, right.
There's some people who can, they can shoot a gun better than, because they've trained for it.
Right.
Right, there's some people who can, you know, I went to the dentist today, they can clean your tooth better than you can,
right?
Because of their training.
And training, even in the school setting, you send your children to school because you believe that individual in that classroom is trained and skilled and gifted enough to take your child from where they are to where you hope they shall be.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand that whole, I don't believe in therapy and I don't know, this is not popular. Your friends, your BFFs, your cousins in them, in our culture, they shouldn't be your therapist.
Right.
They are not necessarily gifted to be your therapist,
right?
You need individuals that are objective and in some cases subjective enough to see, you know, how you can be better, And it's not necessary. And sometimes my therapist is not even designed to tell me how I can be better. Sometimes my therapist help champion some of the growth, some of the good things I've done or in the process of doing. And so it's not always I'm there to just get my hand slapped. Hey, sometimes it's there to just say, yeah, I see your growth. Keep, you know, stay the course.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
It's interesting that we look at somebody like a Mayweather, a Kobe, a LeBron. All these people have private trainers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a private trainer past the ones that you don't see on media.
Mm-hmm.
They have a private person that helps them with their food and diet and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
They have someone coaching them in just about every area of their life. And we look and go, wow, look at the end result.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, how did they get there?
How did they get there?
What's the process? What steps did they take? And then we go, I ain't know if I'm not going to do that.
Right. Right. That makes sense. That don't make sense.
No.
And out of all those names that you just named, and any other, and I'm going to put my fingers up, successful person.
Yeah.
Success is not linear.
No.
No one has succeeded on a straight line.
No.
I don't care who you are. I don't care how big the spoon, the silver spoon was when you were born. It's some jagged edges.
Right.
It's some ups and some downs and some sideways and some ups and some downs. And so some of those ups and downs and sideways, you need someone to explain them along the way. And you can't be afraid to pursue that avenue. It's a Chinese proverb. He that asks a question may appear dumb for 5 minutes, but he that does not ask a question may appear dumb for a lifetime.
That's messed up, but I get it.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather 5 minutes than a lifetime. That's a long time, right?
Yeah.
So ask a question.
Again, it makes total sense. Ask me having gone to the dentist. Yeah. She was like, how you feel now? I'm better now.
Yeah. Right, right.
But in the process,
is this over yet? Yeah. And so I'm a pastor to tell all my members, go get a therapist.
Yeah.
Go get a therapist. Get someone, you know, that you trust, that's qualified, and sit on the couch, and you owe yourself that.
Because in a lot of ways, you're not trained or qualified to I don't know if therapize is a word.
Yeah.
You're not qualified to provide that for them.
No.
You can pray.
Mm-hmm.
You can give your life experience. Mm-hmm. But the techniques that these folks have, that they're literally studying every day.
Right.
They're studying these techniques like you're studying scripture.
Right. 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 And they may have listening skills to pull out and to hear what's not being said.
Correct.
That I may not, you know.
Which is what a lot of them are actually trained to have.
Right.
So when you go to these sessions, it's kind of quiet. That first one.
Yeah.
You know, they go with the intake.
Yes.
You know, they got to kind of pull some stuff out of you because you're expecting them. All right, so fix me. Then.
Yes. And I'm going through that right now. I'm going through that right now. I'm going through initial consultation.
Yeah.
So I'm knowing like, it's very quiet. Yeah. Cause it's getting but I know it's the start or it's the beginning of a journey. Cause one of them will be mine. You know, permanent. And so you remember that conversation we had and how we'll get to know each other and be able to, you know, it's a process, but I just strongly believe in it. I believe in the power of it. And I believe that it impacts the quality of life. And anything I believe that positively impact the quality of life, we should be about.
I want people to know, because I didn't know this up front, right? I found this out, and basically what happened, man, I went to the medical, I went to Kaiser, and the physician's assistant, or whatever his title was like, you're the third person in the morning. It was like 11 o'clock. You're the third person in the morning has been in here with the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically just too much news, too much social media.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? I don't know what this COVID thing is. Am I going to, you know, pass away? Am I? Like, I literally increased my life insurance just out of panic. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he was like, you know, we have these services. No, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, it's a part of what you are paying for. Mm-hmm. So ladies and gentlemen, a lot of what you guys are paying for or what your job might be providing you, like really look into it.
Look into it.
Because if you're going to use money as the reason not to go, it might already be paid for.
Right.
And then let me challenge you. If you're going to use money as a reason not to go, I mean, you can literally get in some of these folks' offices virtually because they have smaller expenses now, right, too. Right. You can get in some of these folks' offices for $40, $50 an hour.
Yes.
And if that just shocked you, I want you to take a real harsh look at how many times you stop by Starbucks a week.
Right.
Starbucks isn't your thing. It's not going to be as good a therapist as this person that can help you work through. Like, I used to wonder sometimes, why do I just get irritated?
Yeah.
I had no clue why I would get irritated.
Yeah.
And it was a series of things. It was like, oh, that's why.
But see, you nice, bro.
Go for it.
You said Starbucks.
Oh, it's all kinds of stuff.
I'm telling you, happy hour.
Oh.
How much money you spend at happy hour trying to escape reality? Yeah. Only to discover when the happy hour high comes down, reality is still staring at you in the mirror.
It's waiting.
Right? And you have no solutions.
Right.
You had a good time. The Patron was, it hit.
Yeah.
But when that hit wears off,
the
situation didn't change.
No.
Your need for answers didn't change.
Not at all.
And so that money could be shifted so that you could get the right answers. Because I'm of the mindset, if you were healthier, if not healthy, the Patron probably would hit a lot better than you being unhealthy, trying to use it as an escape from your reality.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's funny. And we had an opportunity to go down to Cabo San Lucas and we did a tequila tasting. We were drawn in because they said, we're going to teach you how to drink tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean? You slam it down, hit the lime and the lemon and the salt or whatever. What do you mean? No, that's the way most of them do it. Let me show you how it's actually supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an actual process to drink, taste, and enjoy if you're going to have tequila.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us, we want the Patron because everybody drinking it, or Casamigos, or Don Julio, or because everyone is popular.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you my bottle. Let me run. Mm-hmm. And again, you're running from the doggone solution, right?
Yeah.
But this stuff is actually meant to be sipped and enjoy life, right? And for those that are worried, could you please refer to Jesus' first miracle?
Yeah.
Right? He turned the water into the...
Yeah,
it just says don't be all,
yeah,
you know,
everything in moderation.
Moderation, any and everything.
Yeah.
Right? So when you said that the Patron would hit differently, it actually does.
Yeah.
When you are not trying to take them down and slam them back and all that, because you're running from something.
Yeah.
But when you can sit, sip, and enjoy it, it truly has another, another experience,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
Right. So man, I appreciate all this transparency.
No, it's
I'm sitting here going, how do we get more people of this nature to be more vocal? Because I'm just tired of the tradition.
I'm tired of
the
it.
Shame.
I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of the people being like, these are good people being run out because, you know, they felt some kind of way because somebody said something to them.
Yes.
And I just don't think it should be that way, man. So,
and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
And that's why if you don't, I'm gonna do a shameless plug. If you don't have a church home,
please,
then, you know, find us at the City of David. City of David, we're on Facebook, City of David Church LA. We're on Instagram, City of David Church LA. And come and try us out. And should you have a bad encounter or experience, feel free to reach out to me. I'm approachable and I'm touchable. I'm not saying that just because I'm saying that, because I'm, you know, biased, but I would want you to find it because everyone needs a covering. Yes. Everyone needs a covering. It's not, if you leave a car that you love out in the elements for too long, the car won't be what the car should be because it has no covering.
Correct.
Right. if you go outside and you have no covering whatsoever and it gets too cold, you could ruin or you can risk acquiring some kind of affliction. Mm-hmm. And likewise, if it's too hot, you may acquire affliction of cancer of the skin. So everyone needs a covering. And so in the spiritual realm, everyone needs a covering. Everyone needs a place where they can be challenged, a place where they can be motivated, but most importantly, a place that they can be loved. And so we have an example, or we have an opportunity to help people meet that need. And so I'm excited about it. When you just shared, how can we attack that mindset? How can we help others connect? I believe it's just presenting Jesus, because Jesus is enough. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't need to water down Jesus. We don't need to shout out or the new and improved Jesus. Just give people Jesus, because Jesus will. It'll be enough. Enough. It'll be enough in every aspect. It'll be enough. And you know what? One thing I've discovered in my 6 years of starting a church, many of us have heard things that we live or profess to be Bible. It's not in the Bible.
Yes.
It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. One day, I can't, because we'll be here all day. Right. I can't. But I'm going to give a prime example, and I know somebody online that's probably watching going, you know, growing up, I'm going to give a prime example we've all heard. You know, when you go to church or you go to a memorial celebration or a homegoing service, the one thing you hear is absence from the body means present with the Lord.
Correct.
Period. At
every time.
Funeral of our
zip code,
right? Correct.
Correct.
It's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not true. That's a expression that was said by Paul toward the end of his life. And he professed that it is his desire that should he leave this body, he shall be present with the Lord. If you base off of our experience, you would think everybody is going to heaven.
Right.
Everybody going to be with the Lord. Because what? Absence from the body means present with the Lord. That was Paul's desire. And even when you read 1 Thessalonians 4, when we do transition, nobody goes immediately to heaven. When we transition, we go to sleep. Now we go to sleep, and we, those of us who are believers, we get the benefit of getting good rest until Jesus comes back a second time and calls those that are asleep in him to go to heaven to see God. And so when we pass away, there is no, but we only, and we've never taught scripture, we take that and we run with it as if it is scripture, and it's not. It's not. It's not. And so it's those type of things, real application of the word, not only in theory, but in practicality, I think would help us grow the church, help us grow believers, and help us have a more productive life. And then success attracts attention, good and bad.
Yeah.
And so if we were successful in being believers, I don't think we would have to try to cajole or fear people into coming. They would come willing.
Yeah. That mention of success, I heard somebody say they were joking, but they're very serious. That when Christians and believers and whatever's walk around looking all down, sad, right? Like, if this is what it's, why I want it? I got enough of that all by myself. I want to join yours too.
I want it.
So success, I mean, it doesn't have to mean money or this or that, because ladies and gentlemen, I tell people every day, you get to define what success means. You know, there are people who make 20 grand a year that feel like they're a success. There are some people who live freely, you know, off the land or whatever. And that's their success. Mm-hmm. There's some people, they don't feel successful at all unless they got six figures, seven figures. But it's your personal definition, right? So in these last couple of minutes before we wrap up, man, give a word to somebody that's just, you know, they down on, they going through right now. What's the word that you can give to somebody that's just, they're down right now?
I would just tell some anybody that's feeling that you know, life is just beating upon them, that you got to see yourself if you can. You got to see yourself like God see you. It's interesting and ironic, and you did not know this, brother, but we have been studying the book of Job. And I believe Job 1, in the first chapter, he teaches us how to handle life's moment. The story of Job is always told from a, it's so good at the end that he got double for his trouble. But none of us never start at Job's story. And when you start off at Job 1, he had the, imagine your worst day of your life. I suggest to you that Job's was 10 times worse. He lost 10 children. He lost servants. He lost cattle. He lost donkeys. And he lost oxen all in one day. And I'm not saying just a few thousands. He lost it all in one day. But toward the end of chapter 1, he teaches us how to handle difficult times because he worshiped. Even in the midst of all he was going through, he worshiped. And when he worshiped, he declared that the Lord had given and the Lord had taken, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. If that don't move you, read Psalms 83, I believe, verse 17. Okay. There's a man by the name of Asaph, and he had suicidal thoughts. He wanted to give up. He wanted to throw in the towel and quit. But the text says that in round about verse 17, he went to worship. And when he went to worship, his thoughts immediately changed from the problem to the problem solver. Mm-hmm. And when it changed, his thoughts went away and his new thoughts came upon him. And so anybody that is feeling like you so far away, know that you are worship away mm-hmm. from something changing in your life. And your worship doesn't have to be in a sanctuary. Right. Your worship can be right where you are. Because the Bible teaches us that he inhabits or he dwells or he lives in the praises of his people. And so right here, you and I can begin to praise God and God will reveal to us he's been here all along.
Right.
And so I don't care how far you are, my brother, how far you are, my sister. Just know that God knows you. He chose you and he knows your situation. And he is still El Shaddai, God Almighty.
Well, man, I appreciate you for so many different reasons. I always try to end this by giving flowers, right? We're here face to face. This is the first episode that I've been able to record face to face with a guest. You are my first male guest.
Thank you.
So I appreciate that as well. I absolutely love the transparency.
Thank you.
I love learning about you. And, you know, if you guys go to City of David Church, City of David Church, LA, as well, and follow, man, look and see, man, try it out. Like, you know, when they have, I always make the reference, you know, you standing in line at Fox Hill Mall or wherever, and them little people offer you that black pepper chicken, and you try a little piece, man. You were standing in line at Sbarro. You tried it, but oh, man, that chicken was good. All right, I'm finna get over here real quick. And you get that black pepper chicken. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So just try it.
Yeah.
You know, try some of the things that you've heard. Hop online. There are no excuses.
Yeah.
Generally, you can get Wi-Fi from anywhere. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all borrowing it from your neighbors or whatever. Hop on and see for a minute, right? Just try, right? But I always end this by giving flowers. You've always looked out for me since I met you. I love you dearly. You look out for my family and everything. So I wish you and your family the best. And I appreciate you, man, being the first of so many inspirational men in my life that really helped to raise me to become who I am today, right? So I appreciate you for that.
Love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Love you.
Appreciate you guys. We'll check you guys out.
Love.
That's it, family. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you learned. I hope that you can take something away from the LLC. I hope that we can change our zip code. I hope that we can do better than a laundromat, liquor store, and church. I hope that we all end up having real LLCs, businesses, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. I wish you nothing but God's best for your life.
You can contact the show at idefinemyzipcode@gmail.com. Until then, you guys, let's get it.